your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, a deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Thank you for joining me for What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. I am ready for a good 2 hours of culture and creativity. How about you? You are going to find out ways to make the most of your weekend here in Wisconsin with entertainment options and activities. And I'm excited, live in the studio at 6:35, I get to welcome back storytelling performer Greg Marshall. He has a one-man show called Greg Marshall Pops Out of the Trees. And he's been doing this for at least a year now. And he mixes music and improv and storytelling to tell a personal story. But it is one of those live performances where it's never going to be the same show twice. And he's added something special. His new show, his next show on May 7th at Vivarium, is going to also benefit Stella's Playground. So we're going to find out more from Greg Marshall all about Greg Marshall Pops Out of the Trees and what he has planned for the May 7th show at Vivarium next week. And we're not stopping there. Going to spotlight a true hometown legend with the song you need to hear. Pat McCurdy hits a major milestone, his 100th virtual show on Friday. A sing-along tune that will put a smile on your face just before 7 o'clock. Then, after the 7 o'clock news, a full-on cast party with Milwaukee favorites Tammy Workentine and James Pickering. They are a real-life couple. They have great chemistry, and they are now performing as another real-life couple, George Burns and Gracie Allen, in the world premiere of George and Gracie, A Love Story, opening tomorrow at the Stackner Cabaret at the Milwaukee Rep. So I'm excited to bring you that cast party. So 2 hours, lots of local stories and fun. But first, it is troll time again in Wisconsin. Oh, yeah.
Something funny with these flowers stands all summer, won't go sour.
You know about the sensation of last summer. Mama Rosa in Tosa. Sculpture that inspired that song. And talking about the flowers, a 25-foot troll sculpture named Mama Rosa was unveiled last summer in Wauwatosa's Firefly Grove Park and created by internationally known artists known for recycling and repurposing materials, Thomas Dambo from Denmark. And Mama Rosa, the first ever troll in Wisconsin and made out of recycled wood from Wauwatosa there. And the flowers are these old Wauwatosa streetlight posts that look like a bouquet. And it's part of this global troll phenomenon that he's got 150 troll sculptures around the world that draw visitors to each of these locations. So it was a big deal when Wauwatosa got Mama Rosa last year. And Thomas Dambo was here for a couple of weeks installing it and had other volunteers putting together the sculpture. And you can still see it. It'll be here, I think. Well, it's planned to be here for a while. So it's not Mama Rosa isn't going to be disappearing anytime soon, not this summer, but even caused some traffic jams at first because she was so exciting to see. Well, now Mama Rosa going to have a buddy. A giant troll sculpture is now planned in Mount Pleasant by the same world-renowned Danish artist, Thomas Dambo. He's going to have a 20-foot wooden troll sculpture in Mount Pleasant that is expected to be constructed in the second half of next year. And I love it that we've got a second Wisconsin troll in the works that will now, you know, if you're going to come and hang out in Tosa, then you can hang out in Mount Pleasant and maybe stretch out your Wisconsin visit. That's good news for Wisconsin and art, public art that brings people together and also tells that environmental message. And now Thomas Dambo spent a lot of time researching Wauwatosa and using those streetlights in particular and using reclaimed wood from the area. Now, I want to talk to him. I want to find out what he's researching about Mount Pleasant and what's special about that area and what kind of troll he will create. He creates trolls of all kinds, female and male. And of course, now this troll in Mount Pleasant is going to have a fun name as well. So keep your eye on that. You know, we will be keeping you up to date here on What's on Tap with the evolution of the troll population here in Wisconsin as our public art continues to grow. So look for a second troll. But in the meantime, if you haven't seen Mama Rosa in Wauwatosa, say add that to your list for this spring and this summer. Very photographable. And ways to make the most of your weekend in Wisconsin, including a Kentucky Derby party, getting to roam in someone else's fancy home, and ways to snag free comic books. That's next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
What are you doing this weekend? Let me know. Pop a call or text on the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. Let me know what you're up to. 855-616-1620. Help people as they're making their plans. I have some ideas to share with you to help you make plans. I joined Eric Bilstead and Telly Hughes on Wisconsin's Morning News today with event suggestions on the weekend trend and started with this.
Uh-huh. Am I right?
Yes. You know that warms this girl's heart.
Yes. You are a Kentucky girl, right? You
grew
are
up
a Louisville.
In Louisville.
Yes.
A Louisvillian, yeah. Oh, so wow. I get homesick this week because it's a full week of celebration in Louisville. You've got a parade. You used to have a steamboat race. You used to kick off with a hot air balloon race.
Yep.
All
wow.
sorts of racing and festivities around the most exciting 2 minutes in sports. And you can celebrate here. There are a couple different derby parties, and one that I've got my eye on is Saturday, of course, first Saturday of May, St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's free. They open up that whole hotel lobby. They're going to have a big projection screen, but they're celebrating all day long, and they have the costumes for best hat,
oh, nice.
Best dressed.
Yep.
They are serving up the traditional classic mint julep. Woodford Reserve, using that one. And for every mint julep that you sip, you get a raffle ticket. You could win more prizes, and they are having contests for those best dressed fashion statements.
You got to be careful with those things. You can quickly forget your name with those things.
They're a sip and drink. You know, that is, there's a reason they serve them in the South. Those were not meant to be pounded. A little bourbon, a little crushed ice and sugar, and a mint sprig.
Yep.
That's what you're talking about.
Now, Sandy, before you continue, being from Louisville, do you get a kick out of everyone trying to mimic what happens at the Kentucky Derby?
How do you mean mimic? Like, just
celebrate and jump it off? Well, I mean, they just trying to make it seem like, oh, this, like you're there. And
I love it.
Oh, you love it.
Because, again, I'm
okay.
homesick. But, you know, like, don't everybody loves, like, a theme party? It's another
for
reason
sure.
to celebrate.
Yes.
Put out the roses, because it's the run for the roses. So
I
feel like that's the way to roll. And pick your favorite. I hear so far that if you like the band Styx, you can remember that Renegade is the favorite right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, Renegade is the horse that you should remember at the moment.
But the Although field is always, like, 22 horses wide. And that's also part of the recreation. So Kentucky Derby Day. I'm glad that that's something you're embracing, Eric. Also, though, Free Comic Book Day is on Saturday, and there are several spots celebrating. Collector's Edge is well-known in Bayview. They also have a location, 78th and Burleigh. You show up to Collector's Edge, you will get 2 free comics per person.
All
and
right.
I like that they said, don't tell the boss, but if you wear comic book-themed apparel, you might get more than 2 comics. So that's your tip there. But Cowabunga Comics in Oconomowoc, you get 1 free comic book, but they're doing a food drive. You bring a non-perishable food donation for the Waukesha Food Pantry. You get 1 additional free comic for every item you donate. You show up with 2 dozen cans of beans. You get
Absolutely.
2 dozen more comic books.
Bring the kiddos. You're the most popular parent there. You're
that
like, how great are
very
you?
Very true. And if you are doing spring cleaning, but you're like, you know what? I've seen enough of my home. Let's go see some fancy homes. It's the Historic Milwaukee Spaces and Traces Tour of homes on the Upper East Side, 9 beautiful homes that were each selected specifically for their architectural significance, maybe the unique story that they have and the craftsmanship. So think about everything from like a Mediterranean villa to the, I like the English, the old Tudor revival
like a
homes.
Frank Lloyd Wright-ish.
Yeah. And you can look at the original woodwork, stained glass, the grand staircases.
Awesome.
I don't think they make you polish any woodwork or anything. They don't put you to work. You just get to enjoy all of this. But you've also got onstage experiences to enjoy. The Milwaukee Ballet is very excited to bring back Alice in Wonderland. This is the first of 2 weekends. They've been waiting to stage this again for about 10 years. So it is back. Big cast with all those favorite characters, the Mad Hatter, the Queen of Hearts, of course, Alice herself. Big high-energy storytelling. That will be fun at the Marcus Performing Arts Center this weekend and next weekend. And if you like your Elvis-ness like I do, All Shook Up is an Elvis-inspired musical. You'll hear a bunch of different Elvis songs in All Shook Up now through May 10th. That's at the Sunset Playhouse in Elm Grove. And I'm really excited about George and Gracie, A Love Story. This is a world premiere play at the Milwaukee Rep Stackner Cabaret. Opens this weekend. Tammy Workentine and James Pickering are real-life married couples. They're really seasoned actors.
Yeah.
You've seen them. You've seen them in
Iconic,
A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
Well, Tammy Workentine has written this play about George Burns and Gracie Allen, real-life married couple who were super influential all the way from vaudeville days through radio, through television, and it tells their love story. And I'm just really excited about this. And if you want to kick, like, these are those old jokes like, hey, George, you know, who in the Army wears the biggest hat? He's like, Gracie, I don't think you should. Like, who? The one with the biggest head. Like, but good, clean, fun, clever, smart jokes that before comedy got really shocking and blue, you know, this is, but yet still
right.
Laugh out loud funny. So George and Gracie opens this weekend at the Milwaukee Rep's Stackner Cabaret, a love story and a world premiere.
Talk music.
Yes.
What music we got this week?
The Milwaukee Community Orchestra Spring Concert, which is all community players. I love this. They have a performance on Sunday at the South Milwaukee Performing Arts Center, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And you know who you will hear on oboe in the Milwaukee Community Orchestra?
Oh, one of ours, right? Getzo.
Jessica Getzo plays oboe in the Milwaukee Community Orchestra. And I look forward to this every year. They have different seasonal shows, and you'll hear classical music like Rachmaninoff, but they also play medleys from Fiddler on the Roof and Jurassic Park. So an oboe.
Fun music to listen to.
Yeah. An oboe is a tricky instrument to play. It's a double reeded woodwind. So you have to have great proficiency with your embouchure.
Embouchure. Great.
Yes.
Word.
And also, Talking Heads, you know, Jerry Harrison was in Talking Heads. David Byrne, though, has just skyrocketed on his own with a Broadway show. David Byrne's in town on Sunday at Miller High Life Theater. It's an evening with David Byrne.
Had an opportunity to go to that show.
Yeah.
I turned it down, unfortunately, because it'd just be too late of a night for me. I have to admit, though, like, I mean this affectionately, David Byrne is a weirdo. In the best possible way. And like just the music that they'll do, that'll be a great show.
I would say, you say it'd be a unique musical experience.
Yes.
He's a true artist and a real gentleman.
Idea.
Like he's a nice person too. Like he creates art that he believes in, not to be weird. Because some people create art to be weird. And then also,
great.
You know,
great
exactly. Like, hey, look at me. But I got to tell you, springtime, first weekend of May. Beer festivals. It is the official opening weekend of Esterbrook Beer Garden. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Beer, live music, and stein holding contests.
Oh.
Enjoy. Get your muscles going.
Enjoy the horses on Saturday.
Will do. Fun spending time with Eric Bilstad and Telly Hughes on Wisconsin's Morning News with the Weekend Trend. What sounded good to you? And Caroline texted in weekend plans, got a date with her current partner, and then Sunday, yard work. Getting hands in the dirt with her good friend, who happens to be her ex-partner. So, Caroline, a friendly gal, and also stirring up memories for Caroline, talking about that Kentucky Derby Day party at St. Kate. She remembers, yum, grew up with my grandparents having those silver mint julep cups. And but Caroline prefers hers in a glass because of the metallic reaction on her taste buds. However you enjoy sipping a mint julep, I can highly recommend it as a former Louisvillian. And if you're looking for inspiration for your next meal, and fresh ingredients or springtime flowers to brighten your home, I have info for you on the farmers markets that will be opening this weekend. Next on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. Handcrafted, homegrown, world class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. And with spring springing, lawns turning green, 'tis the season for freshening up your meals, your home. And a great way to do that and support local farmers and businesses, farmers markets. And Madison, there's Saturday on the Square Farmers Market. That opened a couple of weeks ago and is in full swing. And they do it right in Madison. They're going all the way to like the middle of November to get in on the harvest season at the end. But we got springtime now, and there are a few Wisconsin communities that are kicking off their farmers markets this weekend. West Dallas is one of those communities right there at 65th and National. Saturdays from 1 till 5. Brookfield at Brookfield Central High School. They're going to start having their farmers markets on Saturdays. Also, Oak Creek, Drexeltown Square, they would kick off their farmer's market this Saturday. Also, Waukesha at the Waukesha State Bank employee lot is where you'll find that farmer's market on Saturdays. Also, Germantown at Germantown Village Hall kicking off their farmer's market on Saturday. And then Sundays in Greenfield at Conkle Park is where you can get in on those farmer's markets. So where you can get your farmer's market on this weekend. West Dallas, Brookfield, Oak Creek, Waukesha, Germantown, Greenfield. And then as we look ahead, Fondy Market right there at 22nd and West Fond du Lac Avenue. They're going to get their season going on May 9th. And then you got to wait a little bit. South Milwaukee, downtown at the Bucyrus Commons. That's right after Memorial Day. They're not getting their farmers markets going until May 28th in South Milwaukee, which is one of the reasons I wanted to tell you the communities that are doing theirs this weekend, because it is nice to get out and support. And you've got Historic King Drive. The Bronzeville Farmers Market is going to happen the second Saturday of every month starting in June. Menominee Falls will start their farmers markets on Wednesdays in June 3rd and Sundays starting July 12th. Cathedral Square downtown, they do their farmers market on Thursdays just before the Jazz in the Park, Music in the Park series there in Cathedral Square Park. Tosa's farmers market June 6th on Saturdays in the Hart Mills parking lot. Whitefish Bay is going to get their farmers markets going June 6th as well, and that's on Silver Spring Drive right in the Aurora Healthcare lot there. And Deer District, they're going to have farmers markets starting on June 7th at Sundays downtown right there on the plaza. River West has their farmers market starting on June 7th. I feel like that sounds like a long time away, but the last day of April, this month just flew by. So I feel like May is going to fly by as well. One of my favorites, though, is South Shore Park. They do their farmers markets on Saturdays. Those will start on June 13th. Also starting on June 13th, the farmers markets in Fox Point and again in Bronzeville every second Saturday there on Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. So embrace the farmers markets. They do good deeds for local businesses and local farmers, and you can find artisans and crafts and things you don't normally see. And like I said, you're supporting our community by strolling through the farmers market. And who knows who you'll see? Might see a neighbor, might make a friend, or see an old friend as you stroll around. So do that and help make the most of your Wisconsin weekend. I'm excited to welcome back to the WTMJ studio storyteller and musical performer Greg Marshall. Popping out of trees for a good deed. You'll find out about that next. But first, we go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Here is Jessica Gatzo.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap. You are hearing music created by my next guest. Greg Marshall is a storyteller and musician, and you're one of those multi-hyphenates, Greg.
Thank you.
And you are now a
I'll look that up later.
I'd say you know what that is. A dash, dash, dash,
oh, yes,
or a
yes,
slash, slash. You cannot be compartmentalized.
I appreciate
you are
that.
Multifaceted and multi-talented.
Thank you so much.
And so Greg Marshall has a one-man show called Greg Marshall Pops Out of the Trees that you've been performing how many years now? I feel like it's been at least a year.
I forget. Honestly, it's been probably 2.5 years that I've actually been doing it.
Yeah.
But 6 years that I've actually been building it.
Sure.
Little piece by piece.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And now so I love that you get to perform this. It's never the same show twice. We'll explain it. But you've also added a beautiful angle. You've partnered with one of our local organizations.
Stella's Playground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we have Ben here from Stella's Playground. Ben, introduce yourself.
Of course. Hi, everyone. I'm Ben Orton-Vipond, here with the Stella's Playground team and just excited to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
And how did you get connected with Greg Marshall?
Well,
or vice versa?
I am just a huge fan of Reese Schneider and her daughter Stella and her family. And when they were going through some hard things with Stella's illness, and then they came through that, and their response to that challenge was resilience and hope and the desire to create a space for all kids, no matter what abilities they have or don't have. And it just inspires me, and I think it's in tune with the heart of my show, which is, you know, curiosity about other people and invitation to connect with others. And there's nothing that's more in line with that than a playground that says every kid is welcome. And I got connected to Ben through my fandom of that movement.
And Ben, how's the progress coming along on Stella's Playground?
It's great. We're just so impressed with the generosity of the, you know, folks in Milwaukee, you know, surrounding communities. We set a goal to raise $2 million last year when this campaign launched. And so far we've raised 1.2, which is an incredible amount of money to raise. So we've got a little ways to go, but we're just really thrilled about the generosity that everyone's shown us.
And where will Stella's Playground Park be?
Stella's Playground Park is going to be in Kilbourne Reservoir Park, so near the east side of Milwaukee, right on the north end of that park.
Aw. And Greg, I, to your point, you know, to take something that's devastating, any child's illness, and then you're talking about a brain tumor, you know, just that's just absolutely crushing and can tear families and people apart. And instead, it's easy to say choosing hope, but finding that filter to go, aha, here's how we can change our mindsets and change our community for a positive way.
Yeah, you know you're dealing with really cool people when suffering and fighting looks like hope and creating beauty. You know what I mean?
That's
like we're in it right now. What's our response? You know, shut down or create something beautiful? And to watch a family fight for that. That's why I think it's so cool. The community is like, yeah, let's do this. 1.2 million of two is no joke. So yeah, it's super inspiring.
So Greg Marshall pops out of the trees. Yes, your one man show that will you embody that.
Yeah.
That will help benefit Stella's Playground May 7th at Vivarium. You return there. For people who will be first timers at your show on May 7th, what is the plot of your show?
Well, it's a story about a young man who discovers that the most important story in his life is not his own. It's actually the ones that come from the most unexpected places in people. Is that okay as a quick log line?
It's such a journey, but it shows that your live performance is different. It's unique. It's unusual. It's not coming to see a stand-up show. You have music as well. It's not coming to see a guy strumming guitar telling jokes. Like, you really are a storyteller, and you've got improvisational aspects to Greg Marshall pops out of the trees.
Yes, it's a mix of storytelling, improv music. I use a looping pedal guitar and my voice to create music, to score it, and you know, a lot of written songs, but also some freestyling that happens with the audience.
I think this is so unique and so great that I think a lot of people think, like, I have a story to tell. It's brave to get on stage and also be that open and go, I don't have all, this isn't like comedians, they craft their joke and they've got their quote routine, you know, a lot of times. Like, you're just not flying blind, but you're flying with the rest of the, you're kind of crowd surfing emotionally and spiritually with an entire group of people by asking them by trust falling into them.
Oh yeah.
With your thoughts and asking them to participate. The improvisational side of things, do you ask for suggestions? Do people just call out from the audience?
Well, by the end of the show, I'm actually engaging with the audience and hearing pieces of their story. And so the final song is actually a woven together narrative of their stories. And so, yes, I take comments from the audience and then create something on the spot, which every time the show, the whole thing, not just the show, but promoting it, it culminates in that moment, the climax of it. But yeah, it feels like jumping out of a plane every single time. It feels crazy. Even just asking people, telling people about it, like, hey, I made a thing. Want to come see it? That feels crazy too. But the freestyling is sort of the moment where you really, you really leave the airplane and enter the sky.
Has there ever been a bumpy ride in that plane that kind of evened out, or?
Oh yeah, my one of my favorite performances. There was a moment where something happened with my guitar and the battery, that which was a new battery, totally zapped and stopped working. And so right as I'm supposed to start a song, I had to exchange the battery out of the guitar, and it was this really cool moment where the audience, you could tell, was like feeling like, oh, what's going on? This is awkward, you know. And I just like slowly put the battery in, and I looked at the audience and I said, this is harder for you guys than it is for me. And then everybody just starts roaring and laughing. And then the whole place is just like, oh, we're all really actually just present to each other. So yeah, sometimes when things go wrong, correcting it is the best part.
It is, that's the test. And that's, you again, earned the audience's trust. Yeah. And you know that you had them. They were anticipating, they're ready to hear your song that they're a part of. So it is interesting to hear that Greg Marshall pops out of the trees It sounds like a, I'm going to tell you about one thing that happened to me once. And instead, it's this very communal experience that won't ever be the same show twice.
True that. Yeah. And that the moment, the name is pointing to several moments in the story, but one in particular where I'm actually running from the police, soaking wet with no shoes. And I come to these trees and I'm pressing through the trees and I'm thinking like, ah, this is like Narnia. Like I'm on this adventure, you know? And I pop out the other side of the trees. And that is a point in my life where literally trajectory of everything changed. And so that's sort of the inciting incident in the story starts there.
You can see him and his one man show May 7th at Vivarium. And when you go, you'll be doing a good deed and supporting Stella's Playground. We're going to continue this conversation about onstage storytelling with Greg Marshall and how you can help Stella's Playground. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, where my guests in the studio are here to tell you about Greg Marshall Pops Out of the Trees, a show that will benefit Stella's Playground, May 7th at Vivarium. I have Greg Marshall with me.
Yes.
And also from Stella's Playground, Ben Orton Vipond. And Ben, May 7th, Vivarium, Stella's Playground is the beneficiary of this one-man improvisational musical show.
Mm-hmm.
What's special about May 7th?
Well, May 7th is special because it is Greg's show. We're so thankful for his generosity and for him, you know, supporting Stella through his show. It's also a great day because it's Stella's 10th birthday. It's a milestone birthday, right? You know, you only turn 10 once. And for Stella's birthday, we are celebrating by aiming to raise $10,000 towards Stella's Playground. So I'm doing a little bit of a push for an additional fundraising boost on that day.
And what a journey she's had. What has her journey been that's inspired others?
Of course, yeah. I mean, so Stella is, she's 9 now. Like I said, she's almost 10. She's just a, you know, kid who loves dragons. She loves swimming. She loves playing with her friends. And in 2003, she was diagnosed with a cancerous brain tumor. And when, you know, throughout her therapies and her treatments, she used a walker. She lost a little bit of mobility. And, you know, one day at the park, she looked at the park and the playground. She said, "That's not for me." She said, "It's not something that I can access." And in that moment, you know, at a time when many might lose hope, her mom, Reese, just said, "I'm going to build a playground for you, but not just for you. I'm going to build a playground for any kid in Milwaukee who's looked at a playground and said, that's not for me." And,
that's what we're all rallying behind. So cool, isn't it?
Yeah, and a playground isn't fun with just one person. It's not just a playground for you.
Mm-hmm.
Stella, invite all of her
exactly.
friends.
It's for all Milwaukee and everyone who's felt left out by something they can't access.
What a wonderful, wonderful way to improve the community and give hope to so many people. And Greg, I love that you have partnered with Stella's Playground.
Me too.
And we're talking about Greg Marshall Pops Out of the Trees. What is special about your kind of storytelling?
I think what's special about my storytelling is that by the end of the show, you're thinking more about your own story and remembering your own story in ways that you haven't for a long time. That's my favorite result of it. But yeah, I've had a lot of people say, "When you got me laughing, and then you make me want to cry, and then you got me laughing again, and then I'm crying again." So it's really a roller coaster of comedy and drama and entertainment. That's, I think, a lot of people can easily enjoy.
That's the human journey. Do you want to share any of your freestyling, since that is how the show culminates?
I'm more than happy to do some freestyling.
How would you like to set it up?
I just
here?
Need you guys to give me topics.
Okay. Do you like the more bizarre the better, or the more
I'm good with anything.
Reasonable? Ben, toss up a couple of topics for...
Just don't give me your last name, Ben, because I can't do it as good as Sandy did.
Yeah, that's fair.
Ben Orton Vipod from Stella's Playground. Go ahead.
Did twice. Good job.
You know, let's think about Stella's Playground is going to look like a dragon. It's going to be a beautiful purple dragon. Let's talk about dragons.
Dragons. Got it.
And I was going to go Kentucky Derby.
Oh, that's great.
Fits perfectly together.
Yeah.
You ready? Want some music?
Sure. No third one? Let's just go for it. I'll add a third one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't often get to choose, so there you go.
No. Yeah. There was this dragon. His name was Guy. He wanted to join and wanted to try a race that he wasn't let in, 'cause it was for horses, and he was like, when?
Can I get a chance? I wanna be the only dragon to win Kentucky Derby. Would they just let me play? I wanna be invited in today, but they say the track really won't fit me. I don't like that, cause I want with me everybody that wants to be there. Would the Kentucky please care? Let me into this race. I wanna show everybody all my style and grace, because this dragon, he's purple with fire on his breath, but he wants to get out there and race what's left. If I can't do that, I should stop, cause my minutes is running out. So I got to bring it back around to this. I'm glad that dragons don't really exist. Trying to weave a story, you know?
Imaginative, but that is, again, in the moment. So Greg Marshall pops out of the trees May 7th at Vivarium. What's the best way to find out more info?
Just Google Greg Marshall pops out of the trees, or go to the Pabst Theater Group website and look for the theater Vivarium, and you'll see the show on there.
And Ben, Stella's Playground's best site?
Yep, you can find more information, maybe how to volunteer or donate to Stella's Playground, at stellasplayground.org.
Thank you so much for joining me tonight, and have a great show.
Thank you.
On May 7th, Stella's 10th birthday, a magical day. And the song you need to hear, sing along with Milwaukee music legend Pat McCurdy. He's about to mark a milestone of his own tomorrow. Hear his music and find out that milestone next on What's on Tap.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ. And now, feast your ears. This is the song you need to hear.
Most blokes going to be playing at 10. He's going to 11.
Fresh off the world premiere of the documentary all about him, called Bright Beautiful World, the infectious joy of Pat McCurdy, that screened last Saturday at the Milwaukee Film Festival. Well, Pat is unstoppable. Tomorrow is his 100th virtual show from his own garage, something he started back in 2020, and able to connect with fans around the country and around the world on Facebook. And you can do it tomorrow. He does shout-outs, requests, and birthday greetings. He will get to as many as he can, and he's promising maybe some surprise guests at tomorrow's show. 8 o'clock on your friendly Facebook page with Pat McCurdy, and the song you need to hear, sing along, I'm Okay, with Pat McCurdy on What's on Tap.
Well. Your need-to-know cultural snapshot of Wisconsin and beyond. This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee. A deep dive into all things intriguing, riveting, and entertaining. Now, here's your host, Sandy Max.
Welcome to the second hour of What's on Tap, and you are about to hear the voices of actors you've seen on stages all around our state for decades, even together in the cast of the Milwaukee Repertory Theater's A Christmas Carol for years. They are a talented married couple who are portraying a talented married couple in the world premiere play titled George and Gracie, A Love Story. It's a George and Gracie cast party this hour with the stars of the show.
I'm Tammy Workentine.
And I'm James Pickering.
Tell me about George and Gracie, A Love Story, May 1st through June 14th at the Stackner Cabaret. What is the plot of this story?
It's a story about George Burns going on stage for the first time without his beloved Gracie, and he doesn't know if he can do it. So it takes place 1 hour before he goes on, and he's backstage, and he's trying to figure out what it will take to be able to go on without his partner.
How long were George and Gracie a performing pair?
They performed for about 40 years together.
Wow.
Through vaudeville, radio, movies, and television. They were in a television sitcom called The Burns and Allen Show, which ran for 8 years. And that was, at the time, and I think still is, the longest running situation comedy in the history of television. Mm-hmm.
Tammy and James, it was funny. My introduction to Burns and Allen was the TV show, because I was a kid in Louisville and we had cable TV. We were one of those test markets. And it was one of those shows, like, what are we going to air? Yeah. Something old. But they're hilarious.
I know.
They're absolutely hilarious.
And at the end of the television show, their last 2 minutes was always some part of their vaudeville routines. And really, I think that vaudeville permeated their entire careers. What they learned in vaudeville was what they applied to all of the other media in which they were appearing.
Absolutely. And, when they went into radio, they went into radio because they needed to make money a different way. And that was the new medium. And he really had to talk her into it. But they did it for 19 years. It was
19
a long
years
time.
On
And then television came through. And what's really interesting about, I'm so impressed with the intelligence of George, because he knew that they weren't actors. So he decided to take the whole idea and make it kind of self-conscious, where he would stand at the side of the proscenium and say, you know, my name's George Burns, and we're in a television studio, and you're going to come into this set, and you're going to see this show.
And later on, he would insert himself. He would walk into the show. And later on, he realized, no, I don't really have to do that. So he would, you know, it was almost always a plot that Gracie had cooked up to involve George in some way that he didn't necessarily want to be in. But he invented for himself a study upstairs in which he had a television, and he could watch on television what was going on in the rest of his house. It was really cool. You know, as George
it's
says,
inventive.
He says that, yeah. He says in the course of the play, he said, we weren't actors. What did we know about television? Yeah. And then he also says, but coming then again, what did television know about television?
Absolutely.
So they were sort of inventing this kind of thing.
At the same time
as Ernie Kovacs and a bunch of other really, you know, really
creative
sort of,
people, yep. Like truly
yeah.
like early adapters.
Yeah.
Where we're talking about all sorts of technology now. And like you said, to make a living, if we're performers yeah. and people aren't going to the stages to see vaudeville, but this is what we do. We tell stories and entertain. How
right.
do we keep evolving? So it's a real testament. And for their marriage to have lasted that long. So they performed together 40 years. How long were they married?
38.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that both of you know this so well.
Yeah.
Well, we have to. She wrote the play. People will get wise if we don't.
Well, and I also think what's interesting, in the early vaudeville days, they came together as partners. He had had 17 partners prior to this.
One of them was a seal.
And when he hooked up with Gracie, he realized very quickly that she was getting all the laughs. And so he switched roles.
Took her on as his straight man. And they were just being mediocre. You know, they were playing Nutley, New Jersey and Pottsville, Pennsylvania. And they weren't getting anywhere. And as soon as they realized, no, the audience wants to hear her do the punchline, he started revamping the act.
I love his lack of ego in all of
that's
this.
Generous.
You also think
lack
about
of ego and the love of money.
Love of money. That's true. Right. But the fact that he was willing, I mean, I think you look at a man in that period, you know, that time period, the comedians, that's the star of this thing. And the fact that he was willing to switch that around because it was better.
Yeah.
I love it.
Because there were men and woman acts. There were, you know, man and woman twosomes. And George, but they all fell into categories, some of which are in place. Is this a Dumb Dora act? Is this a Dizzy Dame act? What is this? Mm-hmm. You know, and it was something completely unique as they discovered through.
I'm so excited that you're telling this story on stage. You're getting a preview here on What's on Tap of George and Gracie, a love story with the playwright herself, Tammy Werkentine, who's also, you are Gracie on stage.
I am.
Aha. And.
And I'm George.
James Pickering, married in real life as well. So we'll tell more stories and give you more previews. Stay with us on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Recognize that theme song. I don't know that I would have recognized it immediately, even though I watched the Burns and Allen show on early cable TV, and that classic comedy with timing mm-hmm. and smarts and just not mean-spirited either. Mm-hmm. It was a different style of comedy then. And the reason we play the George Burns and Gracie Allen TV show theme song is because it's such a fascinating story about a married performing couple. And a married performing couple are bringing a world premiere play to the Stackner Cabaret, May 1st through June 14th. It is called George and Gracie, a Love Story. Tammy Werkentine and James Pickering, real-life husband and wife, mm-hmm. are portraying married actors. Well, not actors, but married entertainers.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to you, George Burns and Gracie Allen. And Tammy, what is it that made you say, I have to tell this story and I want to try writing a play about it for my very first play?
Well, we had a love story. You know, we met later in life, and it's been a gift for the both of us. And at one point,
how did you meet? Tell us the we were doing James
a play.
And Tammy.
Yeah, we were doing a play together, and we were friends at that point. Jim was married to Rose Pickering,
right? And she was in the process of passing away from cancer, and Tammy would send me home with pots of pot roast that she had made for us, because you know who I can't cook anyway, and there was nothing going on, and it was
that's just, kindness.
She yeah. was well, very
I,
kind of
yeah,
her
and I knew Jim that. As this duo, and after she had passed away, we had become friends, and then we just hung out a lot, and afterwards, and I was going through a divorce, and he had lost his spouse, and we just became friends. And then
one night, I'll tell the date. One night,
maybe.
We went to a restaurant after a performance of Christmas Carol about 7 o'clock in the evening. We went to this restaurant, and we had barbecue shrimp and all kinds of stuff. And we sat there, and we just started yapping and eating and drinking and yapping. And after a while, we turned around and the only other people in the joint were waiters who were looking at their watches, wondering if we were ever going to leave. And I walked her to her car, and I walked back to my car. It was freezing. It was windy freezing. And we discovered later on that on our way home, we both sort of went, huh, is this a thing?
Yeah, it was
Turns out it was.
Yeah. Aww. I also, work gets a little more scarce the older you get as well. And I just thought, I said to him, I should write us a play. I mean, why not? And then I said, we should do George and Gracie. And part of it was their personalities fit our personalities. And so I thought that would be funny. And it was just something I talked about for a long time until I finally put pen to paper. It took a while, I'll tell you that, and many, many machinations.
She's been working on it for over 4 years.
Sure. Yeah. Just the research alone.
Mm-hmm. Research alone, but also finding a way to tell the story.
Sure. That's interesting and relatable, and that also preserves their history. But it's interesting when you just said, we were just talking about the evolution of George and Gracie over 40 years from vaudeville to radio to television. Mm-hmm. You just said, here's how I want to survive and continue to do my craft. There aren't that many roles. Mm-mm. I'm going to create one. Yeah. I'm going to write. So you are carrying that same thread of inventiveness and necessity and desire.
And in the process, she wrote a big fat part for me, which was very, very
pretty
nice
good part.
Of her indeed.
It's a pretty good part.
Because you need a job too.
Right,
that's right.
Right. Well, I also, they had a marriage that was so much a part of what they did. And that intrigued me. And I feel like this place celebrates that. It celebrates marriage. I love that because we don't do enough of that where we go, man, these people worked it out.
Yes. And it's funny you should use the word work. One of the things George says, George has a number of monologues in the play. And one of the things he says, people ask us about what made our marriage work. What did we do to make our marriage work? The answer is we didn't do anything. He says too many people look at their marriage like a business. When you work too hard at the business, when you get tired. When you get tired, you get cranky. When you get cranky, you fight, and then you're out of business. This is what we do instead. We do creative things like this.
Yeah. Well, and also, I was also working to find a way to tell this story. And a very dear friend of mine, Wolf Boart, who's in this, helping us with sleight of hand. So there's magic, there's vaudeville, there's physical comedy. It's really going to be very different than something you've ever seen before. And he said one day, if you had to do an elevator pitch to a little girl, a millennial, a 40-year-old, and then a person who would have been of age to know George and Gracie, how would you explain Gracie to them? And that was
exercise.
The impetus. And what happened then is it created an elevator. And this elevator, in the moment where George is trying to figure out, can he go on? We have another character by the name of Elevator Guy. And he becomes a muse for George, and he comes out. And George is brought into the elevator, which then functions as a time machine.
It's like if you remember Rocky and Bullwinkle. You watched that on cable, too, I think. Right, right. Do you remember Mr. Peabody and Sherman?
Yes.
Mr. Peabody had the Wayback Machine.
Yes, he did.
Well, the elevator functions a lot like Wayback Machine because it will not only take you to another place, it'll take you to another time.
What an inventive way to tell this story.
Yeah.
It's a preview of George and Gracie, a love story that will world premiere May 1st on stage through June 14th at the Stackner Cabaret. And we are with the creators and the people who will be bringing this to life. Tammy Workentine and James Pickering are my guests for this cast party. Stay with us for more previews and stories next on What's on Tap.
What's on Tap with Sandy Max is back on WTMJ.
I've had a hard day.
But, George, it's Rita Hayworth who wants us to come over. Orson's out of town and she's afraid to stay alone.
We'll have Rita come over here.
But if she comes over here and we go over there,
she'll still be alone, yeah.
That is a moment from George Burns and Gracie Allen when they had Rita Hayworth on their show, married to Orson Welles, Kenosha fella.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a wild world. That was a moment from the 1940s when they were a comedy duo. So I am with Tammy Workentine and James Pickering, renowned artists and performers you've seen on stage. And Tammy debuting her very first play called George and Gracie, A Love Story at the Rep, opens on May 1st through June 14th, where you and James will be portraying George and Gracie.
Yes, we will.
Who were a married performing couple, as are you. So we very sweetly learned how the two of you started your romance. How did George and Gracie start their romance?
Well, they were both looking for a partner.
Yes.
George's last partner had departed. It was actually a seal, and George was doing...
Oh, not a romantic partner. You mean performance partners is what they were looking for.
Yeah.
Okay, because
that's part of it. So he and Gracie appeared, and she was an Irish dancer, and he was a Jewish comedian, and they decided they were both without partners and wanted to work, so they put their acts together. So they put their acts together for a while, and George was delighted to have her along, because George, whether he realized it or not, was falling in love with Gracie. But the difficulty with that was she was already engaged. She was engaged to a real handsome headliner in vaudeville named Benny Ryan. So George had his work cut out for her, and you know, tried and just, you know, told her, finally said that he was in love with her. And got them a gig doing when they were more and more successful in the act, they got a gig doing the Orpheum circuit. And he thought, okay, because they would be finished in San Francisco at the Orpheum, where she grew up, you know, a place where she always wanted to be. It's like she got to pitch in Yankee Stadium. And so even that didn't work. And finally, she got taken ill. And George was broke because he wasn't working because she was ill. So he borrowed $400 from Gracie. And of the $400, he spent $260 on flowers to bring her while she was sick. And Gracie eventually said, anybody who would spend $260 of my money to buy flowers for me to be in love. So that's how they got together. And they finally got married in Cleveland in 1926.
Yeah.
What sparks in you hearing that story, Tammy?
Well, I love his desperation. You know, I mean, he had stamina. He knew she was, well, first of all, they were going to make good money. She was beautiful.
Yeah.
And she was talented. And they had a chemistry. And I just think, I just love how they fell backwards into love. You know what I mean?
That's exactly the way to put it. They fell backwards.
Backwards into love. And they became these glorious partners. And I've written about private moments that they have at home in this play, because it's something you don't get to hear much about.
Yeah.
And so I had to kind of make up, what would these two talk about when they were all on their lonesome? And that's a whole nother sweet spirit of this play.
Right.
Not just them performing, but also experiencing them privately.
That's wonderful. A preview. You're getting it here first. George and Gracie, A Love Story. It will be on stage at the Stackner Cabaret at Milwaukee Repertory Theater, opening May 1st, running through June 14th. And you're getting a preview with Tammy Workentine, playwright and performer as Gracie, and James Pickering, who will be George Burns. So stay with us. We have more stories to share. It is a George and Gracie cast party, continuing on What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. Right now, we check in with the WTMJ Breaking News Center. Here's Jessica Gatzo.
Welcome back to What's on Tap on WTMJ.
Welcome back to What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee, handcrafted, homegrown, world class. Discover more at visitmilwaukee.org. And we are world class. Got a world premiere play called George and Gracie, A Love Story. will be at the Milwaukee Rep, the Stackner Cabaret. Good intimate space there. May 1st through June 14th. It is a world premiere starring Tammy Werkentine and James Pickering, who are real-life married couple who are well-known performers in our area, and also written by Tammy Werkentine. This is your debut. How in the world does it feel to have not just it coming on stage after 4 years of working on this idea, but to like really feel, I would say, the joy of a world premiere? Or are there other emotions that go with that?
It's all of that and fear, you know? No, it's all of it. It's a really difficult thing to write a play. And it's also a really difficult thing to get a play produced. You know, it is not...
That's the business side of things.
That is the business side of things. And, you know, theaters have stacks of plays that are sent to them daily. And the fact that this was able to make it to the top of the stack, and not only that, be selected to be produced at the Milwaukee Rep is no small feat. I would say I'm incredibly proud of myself. And that's okay.
Bravo.
Right? You go,
no,
I'm proud of myself.
Step into it. Yeah. Come on. What is significant about it being produced at the Milwaukee Rep to you?
Because these are one of the biggest theaters in our country. So when you're able to get yourself on a big stage like that, the ability to be able to sell your play, it elevates. The other part of it is we are a world premiere. So we are part of what's called World Premiere Wisconsin, which is something that was started a couple of years ago. And it's a festival now that took place for half the year, and now it takes place for the entire year, celebrating all the new works that are in Wisconsin. And what happens with it is you are then advertised on their website as well as the website of the theater company. So the exposure for that, and for people to see stuff all across the state that is available to them, you know, in their own hometown and perhaps, or let's go take a trip into Milwaukee to go see something that we might enjoy. It's exciting.
And so, a new play doesn't always mean experimental and edgy and challenging. Where I think sometimes people are like, oh, it's a new play. Yeah. I don't know, where here's a new play that's all about this influential, beloved performing
absolutely.
Couple.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And old stuff.
And
old,
yeah. Yeah. Well, and what you're
but
given,
classic. Yeah, but
no,
truly.
No, truly. Absolute classic. I mean, these jokes are great. They've worked for hundreds of years, and they will continue.
I'm going to play this one for you. This,
okay.
is, a, this is a George
this
and Gracie moment.
This is the one that cracks
moment.
Sandy and, up, yes.
It probably will get me again.
When I say, what fella wears the biggest hat, you must say, I don't know what fella wears the biggest hat, whatever I say.
Oh.
Do you understand that?
Well,
here we go. What fella in the army wears the biggest hat?
The fellow with the biggest head.
It just caught me off guard. I just didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
It's just so simple.
Well, as George, as Jim was mentioning, what kind of act is it?
I love you just called him George.
George Jim.
Well done.
Right. Yeah, he'll come to anything.
Yes,
you know,
true.
Is it a Dizzy Dame? Is it a Dumb Dora? What they came up with was the term illogical logic. Gracie didn't tell a joke. She explained it. She would turn a single line into a three-act play. And that's when that's what makes her so fun. Because essentially, she's always saying to George, honey, you don't get it. You need to understand it this way. And by the end, you have everybody in the room going,
you know
that kind of makes sense.
Right. Okay, in that case, then you've pretty much set this up. I do want to share this one with you as well, this classic Burns and Allen clip. It's when Rita Hayworth is there and trying to impress the legendary actress.
Gracie.
Yeah, go on, George. Be intelligent for Rita. Now, give us your opinion on rationing. How shall we solve the sugar shortage?
Look, honey.
Honey! Now, George, what shall we do about the black market?
Oh, stop it.
Stop it!
So dumb.
It's one of the things she says.
But it's that logic that you were
saying. It's completely.
It's like some of the things that she says. Oh, George and Gracie in politics. They were essentially apolitical. They had their own belief, but that was never made public. But in the year 1940, the radio show wasn't doing very well. You know, the Depression really was just finally coming to an end, and they needed a gimmick. George is saying to himself, wow, Gracie does everything I ask her to do. I have this idea, I have that idea. In fact, I've asked her to do everything but run for president of the United States. And so they embark on a campaign, a whistle stop campaign that really took place.
31 stops.
From Los Angeles to Omaha.
Now, do you think it was legitimate or it was a publicity stunt or both?
Oh, it was a publicity stunt.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
But people wrote her name
so
Gracie, on the ballot.
Gracie ran for president. She got 63 votes in Campbellsport, Wisconsin, in the Wisconsin primary.
Right, but that was only in one copy of the paper.
Yes.
And the Sentinel has a circulation of 187,000. So 187,000 times 63
is a lot.
Imagine me getting that many votes and I wasn't even there.
And they ask her, is she running as a Republican or a Democrat? Her own party, the surprise party.
Right, because her father was a Democrat and her mother was a Republican. And when I came out,
she was,
I was
a surprise. That's right. And what is your mascot?
Oh, a kangaroo.
A kangaroo,
I see. Oh, you should see her. Her baby sticks her little head out of its pouch.
And what's the slogan?
It's in the bag.
It got to be where, that they could do things like, at one point, George starts to teach elevator guy comedy.
In the play.
And he says, here's how it worked with Gracie. You would just start talking about her family. He'd say, but Gracie, how's your brother?
Oh, you mean my brother, the window washer?
Your brother, the window washer. How is he doing?
Oh, he lost his job.
Your brother, the window washer, lost his job.
Yes, he was on the 20th floor, and when he stepped back to admire his work, well,
that's how he lost his job.
But what I love is you're going to get comedy, but like you said, also peeks into their private life.
Yes.
So more previews of George and Gracie, a love story, a world premiere play at the Milwaukee Rep Stackner Cabaret, May 1st through June 14th. I'm just honored to be with the playwright, Tammy Werkentine, and also co-star with her husband, James Pickering, in the studio. Stay with us.
You're listening to What's on Tap with Sandy Max on WTMJ.
Now remember to watch your manners and don't put your feet on the table unless you take your shoes off first.
Unless you take your shoes off first. It's not, again, not what you expect. Illogical logic. I am with Tammy Werkentine and James Pickering, the real-life married performing couple here in Milwaukee, who are bringing George Burns and Gracie Allen their love story to the stage. It's even called George and Gracie, a Love Story, and it will be world premiering at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater, Stackner Cabaret. And Tammy, you have written this play. How did you settle on the title, George and Gracie, a Love Story?
Well, it actually had a different title. Initially, it was called Natty and Googie because they had pet names for each other. She used to call him Natty.
Because they couldn't sleep. One night she couldn't sleep, and she would say, and he'd wake up, his real name is Nathan Birnbaum. George,
I can't sleep. Make me laugh.
How do you want me to make you laugh? Say something funny. And so he said, Googie, Googie, Googie. So she became Googie, and he was Natty, and that's how they talked to each other.
Right. But then I was told that the title wouldn't sell.
Right, because who has ever heard of them?
I was saying, it was distracting. I do think George and Gracie, a Love Story, it will appeal to more people.
Right, yeah. Right.
I mean, a lot of the people who actually saw George and Gracie are dead. But a lot of them, thank God for cable TV, like you.
Yes, that was my introduction.
They're acquainted with them.
Yeah, and I remember them fondly. But I love that also touches on the depth of research that you've done and how you've woven in their private lives and how you feel that that's important in addition to preserving the chemistry and the comedy that they had on stage, which, watching the two of you back and forth here is charming me because the two of you have this chemistry.
Well, we're just rehearsing. We're going to open this thing on the 1st of May. We got to do all the work.
Getting
along.
I told you guys, we're getting a preview of George and Gracie, a Love Story, legitimately, a little mini rehearsal.
And
here,
I'll get notes on the way home, I guarantee it.
You'll be the better for it, James.
Of course I will.
You will be bringing George Burns to life. What do each of you feel like you resonate with? Like, Tammy, what is it about Gracie Allen that you feel like, okay, we're in step on this? Like, this is something
her brain works the same way mine does.
Really?
I'm also a bit of a malaprop. I make up words all the time, and Jim is not that. And so he will start laughing, and I have no idea why, because I put some either a combination together or I've made up something. And I look at him because I think, that's exactly what it is. There is no argument. That word is it.
That's right. And like if you go roughshod over something, ramshackle, she just combines them and talks about going ramshod. Which
ramshod.
It ought to be a word.
It's a good word.
It isn't. It's a perfectly good word.
It's a perfectly good
word. And you understood it, so that's
Yes,
that's
yeah,
the
I
battle
did.
Right there.
Well, there's context because sometimes she'll actually wave her hands around and give you exactly.
Demonstrate
well,
it, and he loves it when I can't find the word because he wants to wait and see what I'm.
I want to really guess.
Yeah, come like on, a payoff.
What's this one going to be?
Well,
oh my God!
Well, I can't wait, and his hands are itching, and you know, it's like, yeah,
well, that's good then. So then that would help you also write this play if you feel like
well, and you have to figure out what somebody how somebody speaks. Right. So I
to
had
get
to
that
start
voice.
Kind of just practice how I think she speaks. She's also very sweet, which I am, of course, as well.
Yes, of course
and,
you are all the time. So
that
was
wasn't
easy.
Hard to, no, you know, to like manufacture
skin
that.
Graft.
But yes, Jim, what makes you like George Burns?
Well, I just like George Burns because he's infinitely patient.
Is that what you have in common? You're channeling your George?
George. I know that George Burns was able to crack up just about every other performer. Two of their best friends were Jack Benny and his wife, Mary Livingston. They went out to dinner with him, and they were best of friends even after both of their spouses had passed on.
More tidbits and who else is behind the scenes of George and Gracie, A Love Story, with the stars of this world premiere play, Tammy Werkentine and James Pickering. This cast party continues on What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Sandy Max.
Time has flown with my cast party. George and Gracie, A Love Story, world premiere play, will be on stage at the Milwaukee Rep Stackner Cabaret starting May 1st through June 14th. And created, written by Tammy Werkentine in the studio with me, who is an actress you recognize and now debut playwright, playing Gracie Allen and her husband, James Pickering.
And I did some
George
writing,
Bird.
Too. I was in charge of making sure all the apostrophes were in the right place.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
No red pen was allowed, I would imagine.
Other than that, beat it.
Hey, honey, what do you think of it? Okay, I'll shut up.
Okay, we have about 30 seconds left. So the two of you are George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Right.
We have Elevator Guy.
Elevator Guy is played by John Riker. John Riker originally came to the Rep as an intern and is moving through the ranks and is wonderful. He sings in this show. He does all this crazy stuff.
He's learned the baritone ukulele.
There we are. And then we also, who is in charge of all the magic and all the great movement that happens through this, is a dear friend of mine and colleague that I met when I was at Cornish College of the Arts back in Seattle by the name of Wolf Boart. You can find his information on Spoon Tree Productions, and you will see some of the most amazing shows online for
It'd be
him.
Some of the most fun Googling you've ever done because they are terrific. He is a unique
He's a
talent.
Doll.
He's really wonderful.
And then we have our director, Laura Braza, choreography by Molly Rohde, and music by Alyssa Rohde.
Yes.
So we are surrounded by a team, and Jim and I are learning to dance. And
we're dancing and singing in this
and
way.
And you could
have
ask,
to.
Will this marriage survive? Well, we'll find out in opening night.
Who knows?
Actually. Yeah.
Well, congratulations. Thank you so much for joining me and for sharing the creation of this play, the evolution, and having it come together. I'm
always
very
a pleasure
excited.
Always a pleasure, Sandy. Yes. Thank
George
you.
George and Gracie, A Love Story at the Stackner Cabaret at the Milwaukee Rep, May 1st through June 14th. Break a leg and best wishes.
Thank you.
What an honor to have both Tammy and James join me. They are just such delights. And that's just one of their creative projects. So I feel like I could talk to them for hours. I am excited. I'm going to go, I think, to Sunday's show to see George and Gracie, A Love Story. So I hopefully they keep their marriage together and they get the dancing going. I'm very excited. So if you see me there, be nice, say hi. I'd love to connect with you as well. And you can catch up on that full conversation on the What's on Tap podcast and share with your fellow theater-loving friends, because I always feel like, oh, hey, opening weekend, and then all of a sudden it's closing weekend, and you're like, I meant to go see that. So it's going through June 14th at the Milwaukee Repertory Theater's Stackner Cabaret. So thanks again to Tammy Werkentine and James Pickering for hanging out with me. Thanks also to Greg Marshall, who pops out of the trees on May 7th at Vivarium for an interesting, interactive storytelling musical experience to benefit Stella's Playground. Also, Stella's Playground teammate Ben Orton Vipond for joining me here in the studio. And I look forward to hanging out with you again. Stay safe. Enjoy the arts. And again, you can always catch up on the podcast at WTMJ.com or wherever you get your podcast. Just type in What's on Tap. WTMJ, if you got to type in Sandy Max, but you will find it and you will catch up on all the goods. Thanks so much for hanging out with me and for listening to What's on Tap. Tell your friends about What's on Tap, sponsored by Visit Milwaukee.